No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, and Celia Imrie as Charlotte. Episode 2, Who You Know.
It'll give me the chance to find out if I'm actually any good at acting or not.
It's great news! But you've only told me that you've got a part in the school play. You haven't said what the play is yet. Sorry, didn't hear that.
I'm calling on my mobile. The signal keeps going. I said the play is Antony and Cleopatra.
Ah.
By William Shakespeare.
Yes, Emily, I did know that bit. And who are you playing?
Cleopatra!
Wow! It's wonderful.
Yes.
A challenge to any actress. Perhaps even more to an actress aged 18.
In Shakespeare's time, the part would have been played by a 14-year-old boy.
True, true. No, I wasn't meaning that you wouldn't be up to it. I just, well, what about boys, by the way?
I'm not seeing anyone. There's more to life than dating, you know.
I do know. I, of all people, know that, Emily. But I didn't mean boys for you personally. I meant you're at an all-girls school. Who's going to be your Antony? Is it dashing Flossie Fanshawe, the buxom head of school and lacrosse captain?
No, no. We do have boys for that. We always join up with St. Martin's for the school play.
Ah, so you don't know who's playing the part?
No, but they've got quite a decent drama department, so it should be someone okay.
Good. Well, it's great news, Emily. Were your parents pleased?
I haven't told them yet.
Oh?
I have to, obviously. So I thought I'd talk to you first, get a sensible and hysterical response before I unleash the soap opera.
Thank you, Emily. And then you'll have to tell Charlotte. I mean, she'll be fascinated.
I think I'll let Mum and Dad do that, then sit and watch the soap opera turn into grand opera.
And you know, Victoria, love, what Robbie said.
What who said?
Robbie, I told you, I had lunch with Robbie from PBG.
Oh, yes. Sounds like it was a rather good lunch.
A relaxing lunch, a necessary lunch.
Necessary?
We'd earned it.
And did Roger how?
Well, Robbie and I have known each other since Cambridge days. Oh, never mind, here's your drink.
Thanks. I'd better gulp it down, hadn't I?
Why?
To catch up.
Anyway, we talked about some pretty important things, Robbie and I.
What kind of important things? Cricket, golf, alcohol?
I'll have you know, amongst other subjects, we discussed Emily's future.
Really?
And this business of her wanting to train as an actress.
We are talking about the same Robbie, aren't we, from PBG?
I said so, yes.
So, what does the finance director of a cardboard box manufacturer know about the theatre?
Quite a lot, as it turns out. And, according to Robbie, much of what Charlotte told me about the theatre the other week was complete garbage.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
No, she gave me the impression that there was no security in the theatre, that actresses have to be prepared to go to bed with people to get work.
And to have to tart themselves up all the time?
I don't remember Charlotte saying that.
No, but it's obviously what she thinks. You won't have to look at her to work that out.
Ah. Anyway, from what Charlotte told me, you wouldn't have thought the position of actresses had changed much since the days of Nell Gwynn or all those off-colour jokes involving bishops. But according to Robbie, the theatre nowadays is not so very different from other forms of business. In fact, there are many similarities between the theatre and accountancy.
Really?
Yes, Victoria Mellor. The main one being that it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh!
Contacts. That's what counts. You meet the right people, you go to the right university.
Or drama school.
Or drama school, right, and you're made for life. That's what Robbie said.
But presumably talent comes into it too.
Not much, I don't think. Certainly doesn't in the world of accountancy.
No. Oh, talking of talent, Emily's got the lead in the school play.
Really? What play?
Antony and Cleopatra. Do you know it?
I saw the film, so did you. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so our little Emily's got the Elizabeth Taylor part. That's not bad, is it?
No. I just hope she doesn't get married so many times, that's all.
Anyway, this is great news. It certainly calls for another drink, I'd say.
One thing, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
How does Robbie suddenly know so much about the theatre?
Oh, he's met someone who's very involved.
An actress?
Right.
And she's the one who's told him that the old Nell Gwynn image is out of date. That actresses these days are very respectable and don't have to sleep around.
Exactly.
So how did he know her?
She's his new mistress.
Oh, one just gets used to being misunderstood all the time.
I beg your pardon, Charlotte?
It's a problem that happens to everyone who aspires to make things better for other people.
Who are we talking about here?
It's probably never worried you. You have such a straightforward approach to life. I envy you, Anna.
You do? You envy my simple, unimaginative, bovine worldview.
Exactly. This restaurant says it all.
What's wrong with this restaurant?
Well, if you can't see what's wrong with it, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Food's very good.
Oh, yes, of course. If what you come to a restaurant for is food.
Charlotte!
I mean, I've always had this nature that tries to help other people, even when those people seem quite incapable of recognising what's in their best interest. So, inevitably, I get misunderstood. I get hurt. It's a sad fact of life, but I can't change the nature I was born with.
And who's misunderstood you this time? No, let me guess, it wouldn't be Victoria by any chance, would it?
Victoria and Roger. Do you think insensitive people are naturally drawn together so that they marry each other and become mutually even more insensitive?
Well, I'll take that as a rhetorical question and add a rhetorical question of my own. We are once again talking about Emily's aspirations to become an actress, are we?
Yes. I'm still smarting about it, you know. My niece, in spite of her ultra-boring upbringing, manages to fight through the dross and tedium of Beckenham to develop a true artistic ambition. I, the only person in the family who knows anything about the arts, offer her a bit of advice. And then my advice is spurned by Roger and Victoria.
Well, as I was told the story, at great length on the phone by Victoria, your advice was spurned by Emily herself.
Yes, but what does she know? She parrots everything her parents say.
No, I heard that Emily thought your views might not be that relevant because she considered you to be a rather old-fashioned actress.
Well, you shouldn't listen to everything you hear. You know, I think I'm going to be subtle about this.
Well, it has to be a first time for everything.
I'm going to help Emily without her realizing she's being helped.
And how are you going to achieve that?
Do you know what's the most important thing for anyone in the theatre to have?
Contact.
No, it's contacts. Anyone who...
That's what I said.
What?
You asked me what was the most important thing for anyone in the theatre to have, and I said, contacts.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting you to come up with the right answer.
You weren't listening. You never do listen. Come on, tell me, do you ever listen to anything anyone else says?
In the theatre, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Ah, Roger would agree with you there.
I have a plan for Emily.
What has the poor innocent child done to deserve that?
What did you say, Anna?
Oh, sorry. I assumed you wouldn't hear me.
Why ever not?
Because you wouldn't be listening. Unfortunately, my words happened to coincide with one of those rare moments when you were listening.
You know, sometimes, Anna, you can be very childish for a woman in her 50s.
Thank you, Charlotte. So, what is your plan for Emily?
I'm going to do good for her, without her even realizing it's happening.
Be a kind of fairy godmother.
Yes. Do you know, I once gave my fairy godmother in Brighton. The Evening Argus, no less, described my performance as unexpected.
What did that mean?
Well, it's obvious. It meant that the critic was expecting a traditional goody-goody interpretation of the fairy godmother, and I totally transformed the role into something far deeper and more morally ambivalent.
Alternatively, it could have meant the critic was expecting a good performance and yours was dreadful.
Look, I'm going to line up something rather wonderful for Emily.
Oh, I wish I had some of your anti-listening ear filters, Charlotte. Where do you get them from? The Innovations catalogue?
I'm going to arrange for all my chums in the business to see this Antony and Cleopatra.
Which chums?
Important chums. Chums who can help someone's career.
Who? Wait, oh, Paul Baker from the Royal Shakespeare Company. Gregory Metcalf from the National.
No, the subsidised companies are so strangled in red tape, it's impossible to make anything happen there. No, Paul Baker and Gregory Metcalf lack that essential something.
You don't know them.
What's needed here are directors from smaller companies, people with an eccentric talent, people who can spot potential, people with that one magic thing in common.
You do know them.
Yes, all right, people I know. But people who can spot the unique spark of genuine talent, who can fan it with their ardour into the fragile embers of a performance and watch it as it ignites into the fireball of genius.
And you know people who can do this, Charlotte.
Of course.
So why haven't they done it for you?
You know, there's another repeat next week of that police thing where I was a body in the beginning. You must try and catch it, Anna, if you possibly can.
So, Emily, love, how are the rehearsals going?
Okay.
Play taking shape, is it?
Hmm.
And how's your Anthony?
Fine.
Well, that doesn't tell me much, does it?
Is it, is she?
That's not really relevant, Mum. Gary's a good actor, that's what matters. He'll be good in the part.
Good. So, are you saying he isn't, is she?
No, he looks fine for the part. But I'm concentrating on playing Cleopatra, and he's concentrating on playing Anthony, and that's all there is to our relationship.
Very right and proper. So, is he hunky?
Oh, for God's sake, Mum! You sound just like Mel.
Who's Mel?
Mel Metcalf. You've met her. She's playing Charmian, one of the handmaidens. Or at least that's what she's meant to be doing. But in fact, she only got into the play so that she could flash her tits at the boys from St. Martin's.
Oh! And I sound like her, do I?
Yes. Only it comes better from a tarty 17-year-old than it does from a woman in her late...
All right, Emily, you've made your point. So, you don't want to talk about the play?
What's that you're cooking?
Wait and see pudding.
Oh, God. I wish you wouldn't say that. Ever since I was... In case you hadn't noticed, I am no longer 3 years old. What is it?
It's a new recipe.
What?
It's something... I'm not sure it's going to work. You'll see when it's dished up. Emily, you know I don't like being asked questions about my cooking.
Which is exactly the way I feel about my acting.
And then I mentioned the play to Roddy Cranston.
Who?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Roger. I know you don't move in theatrical circles, but even you must have heard of Roddy Cranston.
Sorry.
I'm afraid unless you're talking about people who play golf or rugby, you won't get much change out of Roger. Oh, all right. Well, you tell him who Roddy Cranston is then, Victoria. Sorry. I'm afraid I haven't heard of him either. Roddy Cranston is only the artistic director of Body Parts. Oh. He started as dramaturg at the Blue Armpit, then took over Short Straw when Bob was snapped up by the Royal Court.
Oh, right. And he's going to come and see our little Emily's Cleopatra, is he?
Well, he's hideously tied up with his Third Reich Euripides, but he says he's going to move heaven and earth, make a real superhuman effort for a chum.
That's very nice of him.
Yes, then Silvana said wild horses wouldn't keep her away from that theatre.
Silvana?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Roger. Silvana Franks, you know, from EastEnders.
Ah.
No, actually, Silvana Grostisch.
Oh.
Did that wonderful one-woman Othello at the litter bin.
Did she? By George, I'm sorry I didn't catch that.
You and a few million others. One of the seminal theatrical moments of the pre-millennial decade, and it played to dreadful houses.
Mm.
Still, that's always the way in the theatre.
Always the way in the theatre you're involved in, Charlotte.
What do you mean by that?
Nobody comes to see it.
That wasn't what I was talking about. I meant that in the theatre, it's always the commercial stuff, the obvious stuff, the stuff the general public want to see that gets all the attention, while the best work goes virtually unnoticed.
Anyway, so this Silvana thing is coming to see Anthony and Cleopatra.
I told you, wild horses wouldn't stop her.
And how exactly is she going to be of use to Emily?
What?
Well, has she access to jobs? I mean, is she, what's the word, casting something at the moment?
God, Roger, you're so literal, aren't you?
Am I?
Yes, we're not talking full-blown harvest right now. We're just at the seed corn stage.
Ah.
Then Sid Humberston's got the date firmly inked into his diary.
Sid Humberston?
Yes, surely you remember. He directed that police thing where I was the body at the beginning.
Oh, right. But I seem to recall you saying he had some kind of problems after that.
But he's completely dry now. And even at his worst, he's still very good in the mornings.
So he's a definite, is he?
Absolutely.
It's really good of you to do all this for Emily, you know, Charlotte.
Oh, it's nothing. I know she thinks of me as an old-fashioned actress.
Now, come on, old girl. I don't think that's what she actually said.
Really?
No, I don't think she meant to criticise your acting at all. I think she was just saying that you're an old-fashioned person.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're very grateful. Emily will be over the moon when we tell her about all these important people.
No, you mustn't tell her.
What? But after you've gone to so much trouble.
No, Victoria. Like most of the best-known philanthropists, I prefer to keep my charity work anonymous.
So, aren't you going to ask me how the play's going?
No.
You know, one of the most refreshing things about being with you, Anna, is that you don't ask me things.
Well, I reckon when you want to tell me something, you probably will.
Yes. I don't know what happened with the family genes in your case.
Hmm?
Well, Mum and Charlotte seem to devote their entire lives to asking me questions. Whenever I leave their company, I feel as if I've had a 3-hour tussle with the stomach pump. Being with you is quite peaceful.
Thank you, Emily. That's probably one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me.
Why couldn't you be my mother?
Oh, no. Dreadful idea. Wouldn't have worked. This way, we can be nice to each other because we don't feel any obligation to be nice to each other.
Hmm. There's one thing I've never asked you, Anna. Do you regret not having had children?
No. No, I really don't. If I'd ever had a relationship with someone who I thought would make a wonderful father, I might feel differently, but most of the men I've spent time with have been far too immature to take responsibility for me, let alone anyone else.
Those are the losers. What about the ones you really loved?
Ah, the ones I really loved. I really loved. And I loved them, not the idea of sharing them with a bunch of squalling brats.
Right.
Would you like to have children?
Not till the end of next millennium, no.
Oh, be careful what you say. The way science is progressing, by the end of the next millennium, A, you could be still alive, and B, you could still be capable of childbearing.
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it, thanks.
Do you want another drink?
Oh, no, thanks. You know, the play.
Rehearsal's taking it out of you.
I don't want to put on any weight.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that.
You haven't seen my costume. Needless to say, the play is a subject Mummy keeps grilling me about.
Ah.
What I never understand with her and Daddy, and Charlotte come to that, is why they can't wait till things are ready to be talked about. Why they want a constant blow-by-blow running commentary on everything.
Right.
But till that moment comes, it's just not a subject I wish to discuss.
Fine.
It's a difficult enough play, though. So shapeless, unless it's really well done. Needs a very strong director, and I'm not sure that Mrs. Timpson is a strong director. She's more of a sort of organiser.
Mm-hmm.
Works out entrances and exits, sees that everyone gets where they should be on time, which is fine for the third form ballet display, which was the last thing she directed. But I think Anthony and Cleopatra needs a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really left for the actors to generate any electricity that's going to be generated. And that seems to be working pretty well between me and Gary. He's playing Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
We're really getting something happening. But some of the others aren't putting anything into it. I mean, lots of them only wanted to be in the play because there were members of the opposite sex involved. So as you can imagine, it's all quite stressful. And it is making me think about whether I really want to become an actress or not. I mean, the acting bit's fine. I enjoy that. But whether I've got the right temperament for the trying to get work bit.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was hung in life worth.
It's a complete disaster, Vicky, darling. Just a total disaster.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the problem?
Well, not one problem. A ghastly sequence of problems.
About the play tonight?
Yes. Roddy Cranston's had to cry off.
Oh, dear.
His third wife, Euripides, has gone totally pear-shaped. Two of his Trojan women have run off to Tuscany together, and he's having a hell of a time recasting.
I can imagine.
And if that wasn't bad enough, I've just had a fax from Silvana Grostich.
Really?
From Canberra. She'd completely forgotten she was doing her one-woman Othello at the festival out there.
That's a pity.
And to cap it all, I've heard from a mutual friend that Sid Humberston's in police custody.
Whatever for?
It seems he hadn't quite dried out as fully as everyone thought. He was arrested for impersonating a police officer in the nude on Hungerford Bridge.
If he was in the nude, how did they know he was impersonating a police officer?
Apparently he was doing something with a peaked cap.
Oh.
So as I say, it's all a total disaster. Désastre total. And to make it worse, all the stress has given me a hideous migraine.
Oh, you poor darling. Does this mean you won't be able to come?
I'd love to, of course, but it's a hell of a trek across the suburbs, isn't it? And my head feels as though someone's tightening a metal band around the temples. Do you know how that awful pressure builds up?
I do. Well, don't you worry, Charlotte, darling. You tuck yourself up in bed in a darkened room.
I think I'd better.
And I'll make your apologies to Emily. We'll see her at the drinks thing the school lays on after the show. Maybe you'll be able to catch one of the other two performances.
Maybe. Trouble is, you know my migraines. Sometimes I'm totally prostrated for 3 or 4 days.
Just as well we didn't tell Emily about all your influential friends, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, when they don't turn up, she'll be none the wiser, will she?
True.
And as it happens, Her Cleopatra will be seen by at least one influential theatre person anyway.
Who's that?
Gregory Metcalf.
What?
Oh, didn't I mention it to you? It turns out that one of Emily's best friends, Mel Metcalf, is Gregory Metcalf's daughter.
Really? Gregory Metcalf from the National?
Mm-hmm. I must say, Potter and I felt rather vindicated when we found out.
Vindicated?
Well, yes. You see, it justifies our choice of school for Emily, doesn't it? All that money wasn't wasted if she's mixing with the children of parents like that.
True.
So anyway, I'll give your apologies to Emily. I'm sure she'll be so caught up in the first night atmosphere, she'll hardly notice who's in or not in the audience.
On the other hand, it does seem rather disloyal of me not to be there to support her.
Don't worry about it. I'll be there. So will Roger. Well, he's meeting some foreign client after work, but he swears he'll make it to the school for 7:30.
This is such an important occasion for Emily, though. I'd never really forgive myself.
She'll understand. Just nurse your migraine, Charlotte, darling.
No, Vicky, I really think this is one of those occasions where I should put myself second and make an effort. I'll see you at the school.
And I still haven't forgiven you, Roger, for arriving late.
Well, it was an important meeting. Serious things had to be discussed.
If they had to be discussed over a drink, they can't have been that serious.
The drink had nothing to do with it. That was just being sociable. It's protocol with foreign clients. Drink, you know, is the oil on the wheels of business.
Well, it seems to have got you pretty well oiled, doesn't it? Honestly, arriving late for your daughter's first night.
It wasn't a problem. I caught up with the story. Don't forget, I had seen the Elizabeth Taylor version. Antony and Cleopatra both died in that one, too. At least I think they did.
I can't imagine where Emily's got to. All the rest of the cast seem to be here.
Well, she's probably fighting off the stage door Johnny. She looked jolly. You know, in that low-cut Egyptian style. Jolly mature.
Are you sure he was going to come to the drinks? I can't see him anywhere.
Was who going to come, Charlotte?
Gregory Metcalf, of course.
Well, he was certainly in the audience right through the show.
I know he was. I tried to catch his eye during the interval, but he seemed totally caught up in conversation with some woman.
It was his wife.
Yes, but even so.
His daughter's quite dishy, isn't she? That Mel.
Yes, but what of an actress, though? Emily knocked spots off her.
True, dishy, even so. Seems to be having a good time, too, doesn't she?
Who?
Mel, over there, chatting up Antony.
Oh, right.
Knocking back the wine.
Not her first glass of the evening, I'd say.
Hmm?
I got the impression Mel had had a few drinks before the show started.
What makes you say that?
The way she was behaving. Charlotte, you know the play, don't you?
What? Yes, of course I do.
Is Charmian meant to giggle when Cleopatra puts the asp to her breast?
Not traditionally, no. Mind you, she did in the production Roddy Cranston did set in Peronis, Argentina. But that was rather experimental. Where's he got to?
Emily, darling, you were wonderful.
Terrific. Knocked Elizabeth Taylor into a cocked hat.
Oh, hi, Charlotte. Didn't know you were coming.
Wouldn't have missed it for the world. What about you, then?
Sorry?
Are you looking for someone, Emily?
No, I...
What kept you anyway? Autograph hunters, was it? We'd almost given up on you.
Oh, there was this man who came backstage. I kept trying to get away, but he just went on and on talking about the show.
Had he enjoyed it?
Oh, yes. Thought it was wonderful. Thought I should definitely take up the theatre as a profession. Said if I wanted any help, I should call him. I thought I'd never get away.
Who was he?
Oh, just Mel's dad.
Mel's dad?
Yes. Where is Mel, by the way?
She was here a minute ago, chatting up that Antony of yours. There, by the... Oh, they've gone.
Where is he, Emily? Where did he go?
Where did who go?
Mel's dad, Gregory Metcalf. Where did he go?
Oh, I think he and her mum went straight out to the car park.
The car park's that way, isn't it?
Yes.
Mustache, lovely performance, Emily, love. Talk to you, Mickey. See you, Roger.
Oh, cheer.
So, Emily, darling, how does it feel to be the toast of the evening?
Really miserable.
Well, I'm sorry it worked out that way, Emily, love.
Oh, it was my own stupid fault. I shouldn't have let myself get involved.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was very intense working together on the play.
I'm sure it was.
And I thought, you know, there was something building up between me and Gary. I thought I meant something to him. And then bloody Mel muscled in. I reckon she's always had her sights on him. She was thrashing her tits and simpering from day one of rehearsals. But I thought Gary was more sensitive than that. I didn't think he'd ever go for anything so obvious.
I'm afraid the male of the species has rather a long track record of going for the obvious. Indeed, there seems to be no limit to the obviousness that even supposedly intelligent men will go for. So, the mobile on the table. Is that because you're expecting a call from Gary?
Oh, I was stupid. I left a message on his machine. Yes, all right, I know. I shouldn't have done.
I didn't say a word, did I?
No. I'm not being mummy. You didn't even look a word. That. I know when I'm being stupid.
Good. It won't stop you being stupid, but at least it gives you the righteous glow of self-knowledge.
Mm.
So, what about the theatre as a career? I thought you were really good when I saw the play.
Thanks. Yes, but I see it come together pretty well. Though, as you can imagine, backstage was incredibly tense with Gary and Bloody Mel.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, I don't know, though. I don't really think it's for me.
You've got the talent.
But I don't think I've got the temperament. It takes too much out of me. Or maybe, I mean, I put too much into it.
Probably comes to the same thing.
Maybe. And I'm not just talking about getting involved with Gary. I don't know. The only way I can do it well is if I completely lose my own identity.
Well, that's the bit that appeals to a lot of actors, being someone other than themselves.
Well, it didn't appeal to me. If anything, it frightened me. No, I don't think my career's going to be in the theatre. What lies ahead for me is boring old university, I'm afraid.
Well, Victoria and Roger will be pleased.
Don't you believe it?
Huh?
Now they've had a taste of being mother and father of a star. They can't get enough of it. Keep urging me on to follow up on what Gregory Metcalf was talking about.
But you haven't.
As I say, I've decided that's not the way I want to go with my life. And anyway...
And anyway, you don't want to ring their number in case Mel answers.
You got it in one, Anna.
Hmm. Go on, you've got to answer it.
Yes.
Good luck.
Thanks. Hello?
Emily, darling, it's me, Charlotte.
Oh, hi.
Listen, I've been beavering away on your behalf, you know, about getting theatre work, and I've got a chum who's casting something that needs a couple of young girls, and I thought you'd be...
I can stop you there, Charlotte. I've decided I'm not going to the theatre.
Have you? Well, never mind. Listen, as I say, there are two young girls' parts, and the other one in your show who I thought was rather talented and should go places was the girl who played Charmian.
Mel Metcalf?
Was that her name? Couldn't remember. But I wonder, you wouldn't by any chance have her home number, would you, Emily?
In episode 2 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget played Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, Bill Nye played Roger, and Natalie Walter, Emily. Music was composed by Elizabeth Parker. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.